This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise due to Allah Rabbul Alameen as the creator of all things, the sender of all prophets, from Adam to Noah to Abraham to Moses to Jesus and the last messenger of Allah to mankind, to every one of us, every race, every nation, every tribe, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the revealer of all truth. May the mercy and the blessing of Allah Rabbul Alamin be upon all of us who are present today, this morning, and also to all the Muslims wherever they are, and may Allah give guidance to those who are not yet Muslim. Either they are our neighbors, our colleagues, our friends, or anybody whom we know, whom we do not know. May the blessing of Allah Rabbul Alamin also be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was sent by Allah as a mercy, rahmatul lil alamin, to unite everybody together, whether you are Arabs or non-Arabs, black, white, everybody will live like one big family when they understand the spirit of Islam. And also may Allah bless the family of the prophets, the companions of the prophet, those who follow the companion tabi'in, wa tabi' tabi'in, the great scholar of Islam, known to all of us as Imam Abu Hanifa, one of the elders, follow up with Imam Malik and Imam Shafi'i, and also the last great Imam, known to a lot of Muslims, Imam Ahmad Al-Hanbali, rahimallahu alayhim jami'an, and also to all the scholars who have tried their best to uphold the teaching of Islam until today. To my brother Chairman, and also our young Mr. Khalid, and to all our brothers and sisters who are here with us. May Allah bless us. Now, the topic that was given to me is about understanding our deen, Islam. Now, the beginning of my opening speech is on Khutbatul Wida, Khutbatul Hajjah. Khutbatul Hajjah means one of the recitation of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the reminder of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is very important to all Muslim and believers. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, before he started to give any advice to his ummah, he always remind his ummah to be grateful, to be thankful to Allah Rabbul Alamin. How to be grateful, how to be thankful is very, very important. Why? Because the power of being grateful and thankful, Allah promised us, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. If you are thankful and grateful to Allah's favor, Allah will increase his barakah upon what he have given us. If you are thankful with the health that Allah have given you, so you must use your health to serve Allah, to please Allah. Don't waste. Today you are healthy, tomorrow we do not know. So a person who are thankful to the health that Allah have given them, they always take care of the health, take care of their food, their drink, so that they will be healthy, inshallah. If you take health for granted, then you are going to suffer. The same for those who have family. It's a ni'mah, it's a blessing to have a family. So it's a duty for us to try to protect the family, keep the family strong, so that, inshallah, the family will grow with harmony, love, tranquility. So there will be a lot of good things that are going to happen to the family. If you got a job, you should be thankful to Allah and you give the best services so that your boss is happy with you and you don't have to worry that they are going to terminate your contract, number one. And you don't have to worry about any bonus, because the boss, when you make your boss happy, they'll know how to please you, inshallah, how to reward you kindly. This is very important in our life. And then the Prophet continued by reminding his ummah to be humble. نَسْتَعِينُهُ وَنَسْتَغْفِرُ. Meaning we should learn how to be humble, because humbleness do not bring any bad thing to us. Humbleness always make us closer to everybody. And people feel very easy dealing with people who are humble. Arrogant is a sickness. Arrogant is a disease. So we should try to minimize the pride that we have. Everybody have their own pride, you know. But the Prophet said, always be humble. Secondly, always ask Allah for forgiveness. Why? Because when we look into each other today, we can admit sincerely, for the sake of Allah, we are all sinners. Do you agree, brother and sister, that we are all sinners? By looking among ourselves, looking into our eye, we know we all are not angels. We are sinners. We commit sins almost every day. And then we ask Allah for forgiveness every day. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah after our prayer. Keep on asking Allah for forgiveness. Why? Because we have to accept the fact that we are no angel and we are not perfect. We all are just a human being, and human beings do commit sins. The Prophet said, "Kullu bani Adam qatta'un wa khayra qatta'in tawabun." Every children of Adam, whether you're Muslim or not yet Muslim, when you reach the age of puberty, then you start to commit sin. Only the level of sins may differ, minor, major, little, more. That's all. But nobody can say, I'm sinless. So don't expect perfection from anybody. That's how it goes. Yeah? Now, brothers and sisters, the end of the Khutbatul Hajjah, the Prophet ends by Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Now let us come back to this shahada. No one can say that I'm a Muslim without this declaration. No one. You can say, I believe in Allah, I believe in the angel, I believe in the books, I believe in the prophets, I believe in the day of judgment, I believe in predestination, qadr and qadr. But do you make shahada? Shahada not important. When you do not make shahada, we have no right to confirm that you are a Muslim. But you see, I'm a Muslim already. I believe in Allah. I believe in Prophet Muhammad. But this is what you say, but you refuse to declare your belief by reciting Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. Then we cannot confirm that you are Muslim. You follow, yeah, closely, inshallah. Or somebody may say, I believe in Allah. I bear witness there is none worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness Prophet Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. But they still refuse to say Ashhadu Allah. They just go to the translation. Can we accept that? Normally, maybe for us. Okay lah. Why maybe to speak Arabic is so difficult? So, you give the translation, pun, I accept lah. You can accept, I can accept. But Allah, do not just accept what you want to do without following His instruction. If the condition to be a Muslim, the minimum condition is to say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah, then everybody must recite the same shahada. You are not given a choice. It is an order from Almighty Allah. If you really believe in Allah and the Prophet, there is no excuse, no reason for you not to recite. If you can't, then we will guide you. Like how people come to me and say, I'm not an Arab, I'm not used to this Arabic word, I may recite it wrongly. I said, no problem. I will guide you slowly. Say, Ashhadu, example. Then he'll say, Ashhadu, Allah, Allah, ilaha, ilaha, illallah. Wa ashhadu anna, anna, Muhammad, Muhammad, Rasulullah. Khalas. Is that easy? Very easy. If they still refuse, you know they are playing a fool. They are joking with you. They just want to please you for a while, but at the same time, they say, no, 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 no. But when they declare that, then we have all the right to say, now you are a Muslim. Whether you are Chinese, but Chinese Muslim. Chinese Muslim until today in China, you have about 60 million of Chinese Muslim. Double the whole population of Malaysia. They are more senior and elder than Malay Muslim because Islam entered there earlier. But when the Chinese Muslim is here, they become saudara baru. Yeah. If the Malay go to China, they become saudara baru. Because the Chinese Muslim are older, yeah, in history. Anyhow, a Malay become Muslim. An Arab become Muslim. Before the Arab accept Shahada, they are all pagans, Jahiliyyah. Yeah. Islam don't belong to the Arabs. If Islam belong to the Arab, then all Arab are Muslim. No. All Arab are Muslim. Abu Jahal, Abu Talib. Abu Talib before are not yet Muslim. They are non-Muslim. The father of Ali, he is not a Muslim. Just an example. So, but when a person want to make Shahada, that particular person must be informed. Don't just call them to recite and then just accept. You are not fair to them. You are misleading them. You are mispresenting the deen of Islam. Because when a person want to make Shahada, they must know. Number one, la ikraha fid din. Nobody can force you to recite the Shahada. Nobody. Even somebody who want to be a Muslim come to me, I cannot force him. I cannot mean that, okay, Shahada now, Shahada now. I don't do this. I say, do you understand what is the Shahada? Do you have any knowledge about Islam? Do you know what is the article of faith? I have to be fair to them. I have to explain to them first. Why? Because we do not want people to come into our faith without knowledge. We do not want blind follower. Because knowledge comes first before words and action. Al-ilm qabla amal wal-qawl. Knowledge always comes first before action or before you say anything. You want to say something, you must have some knowledge. Then people will honor your words. You want to do something, you must have knowledge. If not, then people say, what are you doing? This is very important. So that's why we have to guide them, make them understand. In the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when a person makes shahada, Allahu Akbar. He or she is ready to sacrifice his life, her wealth, everything for the sake of Allah. Because they have the understanding. It's a commitment. It's a submission to Almighty Allah. But today, majority who are born Muslim, you don't understand that. Because you are born to it, so you cannot feel. You don't have any experience about how to become a Muslim. But we know what happened in the time of the Prophet. Anyone who become Muslim, they have to go through a lot of pressure, suffering. Some being tortured. Bilal was tortured. Sumayya, the first woman who died as a shahida, Sumayya, and her husband, Yasir, they have to sacrifice their life for only La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. But they are ready. To them, no problem. You want to kill me because of my belief. I prepare to die for my belief. Now, whoever made shahada, you have no problem. Nobody say anything to you. You are so free. But that is the understanding they have. When you make shahada, you are going to be boycotted by your family. Your family disown you. As a born Muslim, you don't have the experience at all. So you don't really know the value of Shahada. But for a revert, they have to prepare themselves mentally. Yeah, they have to prepare themselves physically and also spiritually. This is what you are going to encounter after making shahada. You need to have a commitment. What is the commitment? Because the commitment now is that when you say that you believe in Allah, you submit to Him. That means whatever Allah wants you to do, you must try your level best. I not say 100% we can do it. Being human, we are not perfect, but you must try your level best to follow His commandment. And then, when you follow the commandment of Allah, the way you want to act upon the commandment is you must follow Muhammad Rasulullah. That is the shahada. I will start to simplify to all of you. Now, there are five pillars of Islam. Do you all agree with me? If anyone asks you, how many pillars of Islam, what will we say? How many pillars of Islam? Now, think carefully before you answer. How many pillars of Islam? I don't hear anyone say. There's some, everybody is shy to say. How many pillars of Islam? What will be our answer? Please share with me. Five. Now, I'm going to ask you again. When you want to say something, make sure you are sure first. 100% sure. If not, then, okay, maybe. Plus the word maybe. You filter a bit. Now, give me another answer. How many pillars in Islam? Come on. Children, how many pillars of Islam? Now, when you say five, you must be sure it's five. There's only five pillars of Islam. But the reason I try to, you know, question you back, because I want you to be sure. Thing that you want to say that is five, you yourself must be affirmed that yes, it's five. Khalas. If yaqeen, you cannot, five, when I ask you, are you sure? Maybe seven now. Then you have problem. Yeah, that means you yourself are not really sure about what you learn, but it's five. Yeah. If anybody asks us how many articles of faith, what would be our answer? Brothers and sisters, come help me. Yeah. How many articles of faith? What would be the answer? Six. That's how you say it. Rukun iman, six. Habis. But normally I will ask again. Please think carefully. Please make sure you are answering the right answer. Please. If not, don't just say six. You put maybe. Then suddenly people start to add nine. I say, okay. Who said nine? Then somebody raised up their hand. Okay. Now share with me. Tell me what is the nine. Now they got confused again. This is the thing that we are facing today. We as a Muslim sometimes, we have been taught from school. But now we are not sure. Because we are not tested. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tested by Gabriel. Angel Gabriel come and test him. How many pillars of Islam? And he said, Bunya Islam ala khams. Islam is based on five pillars. And he had to explain one by one. An tashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Wa aqama as-salah wa ata az-zakah wa sawma ramadan wa hajj al-bayt man istata'tum ilayhi sabila. Allahu Akbar. Then angel have to confirm sadaqta. It's a direct interview. Nobody interview you. I think we are born with it. Who want to interview us? Maybe sometimes Jurunika want to interview you. And that is where you got panic. Just an example. Now, come back to the five pillars of Islam. The first pillar is shahadatain, true or not? If a not yet Muslim come to you, brothers and sisters, he look at us, Muslim always pray 5 times a day. Maybe they are attracted to our movement. They say, hey, can I join you? Can I join you in your prayer? What do we say to them? What are we going to say to them? You want to join you in the prayer? You want to pray Zohar? And then your friend was with you, talking with you, have tea with you. Excuse me, I want to pray my noon prayer. Then he said, can I join you? Now, the one who's asking you, can I join you, is Peter. His name is Peter. What are you going to say to him? Huh? What can you say to him? Hey, Peter, no lah. You are Peter. How can Peter go and pray with me? What do you think? Should you allow him? Yeah, you should allow him, welcome him. But of course, that prayer has no meaning to him. He just want to try, get some experience. How do the Muslims perform their prayer? The Chinese have their own way. The Christians have their own way. The Hindus have their own way. Today is their day. Yeah. But how the Muslim? Oh, you have standing, bowing, sujood. Don't stop them. Let them. I do that. Because I was excused. I'm going to pray. Even my nephew, my nieces, when they come, they stay with me when the time of prayer. And then they say, can we follow your uncle? Why not? Come, stand behind me. Just learn the movement. Nothing wrong. But it is not wajib upon them because they are non-Muslim. But they want to follow, they want to learn, welcome. When they want to fast in Ramadan, do you allow them to fast? No problem. What they gain is less of cholesterol, less weight. They are going to lose weight, of course, inshallah. They are more healthier. And also they save some money, yeah, for tea time, for lunch. They don't have to spend. There's nothing wrong. But whatever they do have no value in the sight of Allah Rabbul Alamin. Allah won't accept as an act of worship. Why? Because they do not make the declaration of faith. Now, when you make the declaration of faith, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan, with understanding, yeah, not just verbally, with understanding, your heart feel for it, and you are not being forced, and you are ready, and because everybody who want to make the shahada when they come to me, I will be very open and frank to them, say, now, brother, sister, please, you must be 100%, maybe 1,000% sure. Because when you come in, it's a check-in, no check-out. In, you are in, and you will live and die as a Muslim. That is what Islam is. It's not like going to a hotel, check-in, check-out. No. This religion is not like other religion. No. You want to come in, welcome, because it's for you. But make sure you really know what is it. You're committed in forever. You may have other problem. You may have marriage problem. You come to Islam because you want to marry somebody. No problem. We can arrange it, make it easy for you. But if you have any family problem in the future, maybe your wife will divorce you, your husband will leave you. But you don't abandon the religion. You don't abandon God because of this problem. We must make sure they understand it. Once they have the understanding, then I will say, now, you're ready? Let us make shahada. And also when I want to do that, I say, do your family know that you want to be a Muslim? There is our way here. I don't know other people. My value is different. Because we Asian, we are very family-oriented. We are not like the West. The West, everybody is very individualistic. Husband and wife also very individualistic. You go to shop and then you order. It's your wife. But when the bill comes, two bills. One bill for the man, one bill for the woman. It's a separate bill. Why are you going to pay two bills? You have two service tax. But that is their value. I don't want to owe you anything, neither you owe me anything. Even we're husband and wife, but come to food, you pay your bill, I pay my bill. That is a Western value. I was in Germany, I was in France before. Some of the friends invite me for dinner. Lucky I only choose thing that is cheap. When the bill comes, I have to pay my bill. But they invite me. Here, if you do that, what kind of friend, man? What kind of friend? Kedukut friend, is it? Kedukut bin Bakil. You can't do that. It's aib. But over there, it's common. They are very individualistic. Here, Asian, we are very family-oriented. So I will always advise them, do your family know that you want to be a Muslim? Oh, cannot. No. Over their dead body, they say, cannot. They will never allow. Do you know why majority of the people here, when their children want to be a Muslim, their parents disagree? Do you know why? Some sister, do you can share with us that you are exposed, think that you are exposed. Why? Brothers, do you know why? I show you one way to find out. Yeah. Next time, when you go back to school or you go back to office, tomorrow, yeah, there's offices open. For those who have colleagues who are not yet Muslim, ask them. Brother, I just want to ask something. Normally, if you are Chinese, want to be a Muslim, how do your parents feel towards their intention? Just try to collect some information. Is that easy? Is that easy? It's not difficult. I give you some homework. For your knowledge, you must have the understanding. You must know why. Why stop them? What that stopped them from making shahada? Where shahada is so simple. By making ashadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashadu anna Muhammad Rasul, you are Muslim. But why is it so difficult for them to even say the shahada? That the parent will even say to them over their dead body, wow. This is serious, man. If you do that, and some parent will say, if you do that, I commit suicide. Allahu Akbar. Yeah. There are suiciders around us. And somebody will say, if you do that, I disown you. No more, my son. What are you going to say? Never mind. You check this out. Next time when you see me, we will discuss again. Why? It's important to know why. Because we don't even ask. Why there are so many Chinese, yeah, in the 60s, in the 70s, majority of the Chinese are Buddhist and Confucian. Not many of the Chinese are Christian. But now, maybe 55 to 60% became Christian. They become Christian. Why? Why can't they become Muslim? Why, sister? Young boy or young man here? Why? Yeah. Two reasons, good. Number one, tak mau masuk Melayu. Number two, there's some truth in it. Yeah. Number one, people are very confused in this country because religion is related to race. And sometimes when a person wants to be a Muslim, they force you to change your name before. Now, alhamdulillah, things have changed. My time when I became a Muslim, I cannot maintain my old name. I cannot put Hussein Yi, Hussein bin Yi. My father is Yi. I must have a complete Muslim name. If I want my own name to be there, then alias. So it will be a very long name. Without changing that, you cannot be a Muslim. They refuse. But alhamdulillah, yeah, because we thought that Islam belonged to us. Islam don't belong to anybody. It belongs to Allah. Inna deena inda Allah al-Islam. This religion don't belong to the Arabs, neither belong to us, the Turks. We belong to Allah. Race is a race. If this race is superior, race is so advanced, so good, yeah, we show good example, good conduct, people may be attracted to us. But we don't show good example. Just one example. Yeah. Yeah, what the brother said is true. People get very confused. They don't want to be a Malay. They want to be who they are. I want to be a Chinese. I want to be an Indian. I want to be a Poland. I want to be a German because I'm born as a German. The second is also very true. I came to Islam in 1968. It's not because my friend called me to Islam. Not even one single Muslim friend that I knew talked to me about this religion. Religion is, oh, this is ours. You kapiak-kapiak saudara. No? You help. I, inshallah, paradise. Khalas. That kind of feeling. So what can we do? At that time, when people talk to me, sometimes they are very sensitive. They don't want me to know what they are talking about me. They say, today we be careful, we have Ba'ali Baya with us. You know what is Ba'ali Baya? Yeah? I don't know at that time. I don't know anything, Jawi, anything. Ba'ali Baya, Ba'ali Baya. I said, they are talking about some other thing. They are talking about me. They refer me as Ba'ali Baya. Now, how can you get close to the not yet Muslim when you have that kind of perception and negative feeling towards them? You can't. But look at the salib. You know a salib, huh? They reach out. They invite everybody. That's why they grow. We don't do that. We don't do that. It's our fault. So it's time for us to have the right mindset. This religion is a very beautiful religion. Only religion in the world today that can unite everybody together, whether you are poor or rich, young, old, male, female, black, white, Arab, non-Arab, under one kalima. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Everything become brothers. We become a big family. That's why you can go to China, you can pray behind the imam, no problem. You can go to Africa, you can pray with them, no problem. You can go to Arab, you can pray with them, no problem. They came to here, they pray with us, no problem. Why? Because we all worship the same God, facing one Qibla. We recite the same surah, Al-Fatiha. You never come across, you go to China, then suddenly, Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, he go and read it in Mandarin. Then you have problem. Huh? What surah is that? And you go to, maybe you go to UK, with the name of Allah, the merciful and the beneficent, all praise you to Allah, Lord of the world. I don't think you want to pray behind him anymore. I have that problem when I was in the state. That was before 9/11. I used to travel to the state. For what? Because, you know, we have a lot of friends there. They invite me. The deputy mayor of Detroit invite me to Detroit to give a talk. I was surprised one day when I went to Chicago. And Chicago is where, you know, the Nation of Islam, yeah, center was based in Chicago. You know what's Nation of Islam? Yeah, and who is the leader of the Nation of Islam today? Do you all know? Who is the founder of Nation of Islam? Come on. Elijah Muhammad. They are the one who do a lot of da'wah that converted Muhammad Ali. Malcolm X. Remember all this, the history? I went to their center. When do I went there? I went Jumaat day. I called my colleague to bring me. I want to see them. I was surprised. It's Friday. So one of their imam called ministers, they called their imam minister. Yeah, they came out and we were sitting on a chair like this in the hall. Let us pray. So they start their prayer. Not even one single Arabic word they recite. No. All 100% English. Allah the Great. Allahu Akbar. With the name of Allah, the Merciful, the Banishing. Then Fatiha, all translate. At the end, Amen. Oh, the Jama'ah, the Amen. And then he gave a talk. After that, finished the prayer. So I thought that was the khutbah. I think that was the khutbah. Then they said, finish. I said, what, finish? You don't pray here? Oh, we just finished our prayer. Huh? You just finished your prayer. There's no rukuk, no sujood. Everybody is sitting on the chair. Finish it. That's how we pray. Then I went to the room, talked to the minister. He asked me, where are you from? Malaysian? No Malaysian came here to talk to us about Islam. Islam was taught to us by our new prophet here. God sent him to us, Elijah Muhammad. There are a lot of Arabs who are here. There are a lot of Pakistanis. None of them come and talk to us about Islam. That's what the brother said. We don't do that one. But never mind. I just want to make it, give some example here and there. Yeah. Now, look at this shahada. Why shahada play the most important element and the most important condition to be a Muslim? Because after that, other pillars, other ritual is connected to this two kalimah shahada. Example, when you want to perform prayer, if you don't make shahada, your prayer have no value, it's just an exercise. Movement, maybe some tai chi here and there. But when you perform the prayer with the shahada, then it becomes an act of ibadah. And what is the relation between prayer and shahada? You perform prayer because of la ilaha illallah. That's how the connection. You perform your prayer because of Allah, not because of the people. La ilaha illallah. And the way you perform your prayer, Muhammad Rasulullah. That's how you're connected. If you say, I pray for the sake of Allah, but I don't want to follow Prophet Muhammad. Prophet Muhammad pray subuh 2 rakat, I want to pray 3 rakat. Do it. I went to plasma, extra. You can't do that. When you do something, you are connected, do it for the sake of Allah, purely for the sake of Allah, then the way you perform it, Muhammad Rasulullah. When you want to give zakat, donation, you must do lillah, la ilaha illallah. Because of Allah. If not, Allah won't accept it. And the way you perform zakat, you follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. How many percent? To whom you want to give? All this you must have. This is the guidance. When you want to fast, you fast, you must fast for the sake of Allah. Then you must fast the way the Prophet have taught us how to fast. Fasting is not just staying from food and drink, but everything. It's a self-control program. It's a very disciplined kind of training program for all the believers. Example. You want to perform Umrah and Hajj. For the sake of Allah, la ilaha illallah. But you must follow the way of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You cannot just go there and wear your own kind of dress and then you make your own tawaf. The Prophet said 7, you said no lah. 7 is too heavy for me, I too far enough. Who give you the authority to change the tawaf? This is to show you how important La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. You want to seek knowledge. Today you are here for seeking knowledge. It's for the sake of Allah. La ilaha illallah. Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What kind of knowledge you are seeking? You must know. Opinion. Ideas. My opinion, your opinion, my idea. No. We are not here to talk about my opinion, your opinion, my tradition, your tradition. We are here to know what Allah say. Qala Allah. And what the Prophet ﷺ said in his hadith, وَقَالَ الرَّسُولُ. That is pure knowledge. That's why when you want to seek knowledge, the Prophet remind us, make prayer, make dua. Allahumma zidni ilman nafi'a. وَأَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ إِلْمٍ لَا يَنْفَى. Oh Allah, increase in me knowledge that benefit me. And keep me away, protect me from knowledge that do not benefit me. There are knowledge that do not benefit all of you. But it's also knowledge based. Any knowledge that bring you further and further from Allah, from the Quran, further and further from the saying of the Prophet, this is not pure knowledge. This is very dangerous. The knowledge that have united all the ummah in the time of the Prophet, first generation, second generation, third generation, is because they were united through the pure knowledge. No opinion, no tradition, no culture involved. Purely call Allah wa call Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's why all the Muslims, even from different nations, they have one feeling. One understanding, one objective in life, everything one. Because Allah is one, the book Quran is one, our Prophet is one. Allahu Akbar. Today we are so confused. When we talk about knowledge, this sheikh said, that sheikh said, so many sheikh, we also don't remember who is this sheikh. Why not you say, Allah said so. Everybody can check the Quran, it's the same. The Prophet ﷺ said so in Hadith Bukhari, Hadith Sahih Muslim. Alhamdulillah. You can practice the knowledge with confidence. You don't have doubts anymore. Because whatever you do is based on solid references. Not hearsay. Today we are very confused. The Shahada, so we have problem. What do you think, brother and sister, I want to share with you again? One day your friend come to you and said, I want to be a Muslim. Shahada, oh, okay. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah in the morning. You say, continue. No, that one I said in the evening. You say, no, say it now. No, evening. Morning, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. Come say, continue, Muhammad. Maybe after 1 hour. What are you going to say? If you don't have knowledge and understand, okay lah, better than nothing one. You don't do that. Because Islam is not here for you to play around. If this is the condition, you have to follow the condition. We do not know. Now you accept Allah, you don't accept Prophet Muhammad. Then after 1 hour, you say you accept Muhammad, you don't accept Allah. You're playing around. No. You have to accept both. So any one of you who have friends who are not yet Muslim, want to know about Islam, is good. But you do not know how to explain to them. Bring them to us. Let us follow up for you. Or to show interest they want to know, welcome them. Our center, we are open. We have our classes been there for around 20 years already. Maybe you are not aware of it. And we have every classes we have not yet Muslim attending. Who are not yet Muslim. Either they are Chinese, Buddhist, or they are Chinese, Christian. They are there. They have been attending our class for years and not yet Muslim. Because we don't force. And they enjoy attending our class because they know that what we reinforce is not ritual, but is values. A lot of our born Muslim, you learn a lot of ritual without values. And that's why sometimes after a certain age, when the young brothers or sisters, they get very, yeah, I would say very confused about the whole thing. They pray when they are young, but they reach the age 15, 20, they start to stop praying. Why? Because they don't have the value. They know, they were taught how to recite this, what to do, but without values. Thing that you do without values have no value. And this is why we are lacking. We are talking about ritual, 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 and we argue about ritual for years until now. We talk about evolution until now, no end. Still confused. Yeah. Why? Because that is how we were taught. We waste a lot of time focusing on all this mind issue, and we ignore the major and the fundamental issue about Islam. And the major one is our belief. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. When we say that I believe in Allah, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, the only one true God who created all of us. Now remember, this is what we say. The same thing when we confirm again, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Everybody recite this in Surah Al-Fatiha. What is the meaning of Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen? Please, one of the brothers, can you share with me? Share with me, the young brothers. What is the meaning of Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen? Come on, boy. Don't worry. Come. Pardon? Yes, no problem. Segala puji bagi Allah, Tuhan sekalian alam. You understand that word? What do we understand by Tuhan sekalian alam? This ayah is to remind us that our God, Allah, is Rabbul Alameen. He is the God of the world. He created every single thing. He created Chinese. He created Indian. He created Arab. He created Malay. He created everyone, the African, black, white, is Allah's creation. Do you know how confused the Muslim today? Some Muslim thought that the Chinese may have Chinese God. The Indian have the Indian God. The Muslim have a Muslim God. We Muslim cannot think like that. There's only one true God, Allah, who created everybody. Because they don't have the understanding, they create their own gods. Have you been to the Chinese temple before, boy? Not yet. Have you went to the Indian temple before? Not yet. Have you bypassed any of these temples before? Yes. What do you see? Statue. How do the statue look like? Yeah. Try again next time when you go. You just stop and just have a look. If you go into the Indian temple, you are sure to look at a lot of images. And all the images look like them. You go to the Chinese temple, also you will see images. And all the images look Chinese. Some look like me with a beard. If you don't believe what I say, you just pay them a visit. Just go and have a look, you know, tour around. You know why? In reality, they know that it's not their God. It is their heroes, their warrior, their holy man. So they imagine everything to be like them. Because they are black, so everyone that they want to worship is a black one. This is the yellow skin one. Everything look yellow. If you go to the state, you go to Africa, and even you go to Philippines, sometimes you encounter the people of the Salib. You know Salib? Yeah? They have also images. The images over Philippines look like Filipinos. The images in Africa look African. The one in other country, white, because they say, because they are white, so they want their image to look white. So when the black Salib want to go to the white, just they say, no. You know, our Isa is white Isa. You look at your color, please. You are black. This is not your place. Racist! So when the black guy feels so offended, they went back to their own people. They said, let us build our new one. We build a chapel and then we paint black and then our cross is black and our image all black. So when the white come in, say, I'm sorry. Oh, but we are Christian. Yeah, but yeah. Look at your skin. No, ours is black. So you see, look at the Salib is black. Look at the image. Our Jesus is a black Jesus. It belongs to us. But we don't have that problem. The Muslim, wherever you go, we believe in Jesus, we believe in Moses, we believe in Abraham, we believe in Muhammad. We don't have any images and we worship only Allah. That's why how big the masjid is, there's no images. Purely we face Qibla and then we worship the one true God who created everyone. But sometimes we also have that kind of belief. Chinese God made the Chinese, Indian God made the Indians, the Hindus, and then Orang Asli God made the Orang Asli. No. There's only one God, Rabbul Alamin. That is very important. The right understanding. I show you another example, last one. Quran, the book of Allah, was revealed to who? To who? To Muhammad. And for who? For who? For? Untuk siapa? Look what Allah said. It's important what Allah said, not what I say, what you say. Allah said in the Quran, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس. In the month of Ramadan, we reveal the Quran as a divine guidance for mankind. For mankind, هدى للناس. Not for Arabs only. Not for Muslim only. As a guidance for mankind. But the way we understand our Quran, no, for you. You, najis, no. You are not clean, no. You cannot hold. Example. How can this book be a guidance to them when you don't even allow them to read? And the first wahyu is read, Iqra. Just an example. You see how confused we are? Because our understanding of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is not correct. It's just the way we were taught. I don't blame all of you. Neither I blame all the scholars because they were taught like that also. But why Islam in the time of the Prophet is different? Because Prophet Muhammad, he was talking to the pagan, to the not yet Muslim. And Khadija, the first lady who became a Muslim, they are all reverts. The first friend of Prophet Abu Bakr accept Islam, they are reverts. The first cousin of Prophet Muhammad Ali, they are reverts. Abu Bakr, Omar, Osman, Ali, they are all reverts. From pagan to Islam. So their feeling is different, their understanding is different. And that is why in 23 years of da'wah, the whole landscape of Mecca and Medina changed. From Darul Shirk, Darul Kufar, Darul Jahiliyah, become Darul Islam. Just 23 years. How old are we now? We are more than 23 years old. 40, 50. Have we changed one person? Have we changed one person, not yet Muslim, to Islam? What do we say? Not yet. We have to plan before we go back to Allah. Because Allah is going to ask all of you, what do you do with the knowledge that I've given you? You keep it? You betray the message of Islam? You say you like your friend, he's a good friend, and you don't call him to Islam? You don't share this important message with him? What kind of friend are you? And our Prophet will stand witness against all of us. He has conveyed the message and he said, بَلِّغُ عَنِّي وَلَا آيَةً. Convey from me even one ayah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Share this shahada with them. Can we do that, brother and sister? Inshallah. Say inshallah first. Kadang-kadang nak say inshallah pun takut again. You must have that feeling, the commitment. You feel for them. You are not ready now, may you learn. Start. Start to come closer to us, then we will show you the way, and inshallah, then you start. We just have a reversion yesterday again, a Poland, a brother from Poland came to us. Alhamdulillah. Many things that we can do. You have friends, invite them for tea first, while you're having tea, then we talk. No problem. In our center, you have different type of tea. If they are from Sri Lanka, Sri Lanka tea. From China, Chinese tea. Korean, Korean tea. Japan, Japanese tea we have. You want what? Western tea we have. Yeah? Masala tea we have. Everything we have. So make them feel at home first. Then they feel, you're all like one big family. Then we talk. Hidayat not from you, not from me. Hidayah from Allah. But you must do something, brothers and sisters. You cannot just say, this is not my job. Well, not your job. You say to Allah when you see him, Wallah, I'm not a prophet. Allah knows that you're not a prophet. But Allah gave you hidayah. You got the hidayah. You got the message. Why do you keep the message to yourself? Why are you so selfish? This is what you must think now, inshallah. May Allah bless us, brothers and sisters. 11:15 now. I personally believe through my humble experience, if a person who is seeking for God, they really want to look for the truth, Allah will guide them. Because the truth is for the seekers. That's why, because I love spiritual things from young. And that's why when I was a Buddhist, I served the temple. When I was a Christian, I served the church. When I became a Muslim, I stayed in the mosque. I love that environment. And that environment helped me to develop, to strengthen my belief. Yeah? I have a lot of Muslim friends, I said, but none of them talk to me about Islam. But the interest in me is there. And I keep on asking, oh God, show me the way. Then, inshallah. But sometimes, my majority of us don't have that interest. They don't even know whether religion is important or not. They have no problem to believe in God. They have no problem. But they do not want to be committed to any kind of ritual. So it depends how you present to them. We have the best product. But how are we going to present the product is up to. If we are good salesmen, It's like if people ask you, why you say iPhone is good? You must explain already. iPhone is so friendly, so this, so that, application. You must make people, convince them, then people, okay lah, iPhone lah. Before iPhone, what do you have? Nokia. Oh, everything Nokia, Nokia sekarang. Kia-kia already. Kia-kia mimpin, takut-takut. Yeah. Just an example. Yeah, in Malaysia, through my humble experience, I was involved with the reverts. Yeah? I was in charge of the reverts. Yeah, not just that. I was in the 1980s. Yeah, I was involved with Perkim. Yeah, Perkim is an organization established by Tunku, our first prime minister, to reach out to the Chinese in this country. That is the purpose of Perkim. To reach out to the Chinese, we can strengthen the ummah, the nation, by inviting more Chinese to Islam. I would say, majority here in this country, other country people have different experience here. Majority who enter Islam, I would say 90% because of marriage. Marriage is good. It's better than not marrying. It's an attraction, alhamdulillah. Allah give hidayah to one sister, Muslim sister. Allah give hidayah to one Muslim brother. It's just a mean. It's just a sabab. But even their intention is about that. Islam never forbid. The only thing, you must guide them from then. The Muslim must show good example. The in-laws must play their role. And then you see this revert, inshallah, will become a good Muslim and Muslimah. It's proven. But so far, majority because of that. And we have a lot of problem also because the Muslim don't show good example. The Muslim, the couple. The born Muslim side, sometimes they don't pray. So how do you expect a revert to pray? Very difficult. That's why we have people who revert after 10, 15 years old. They don't even know how to recite Fatiha. Why? Because the husband don't care. The husband don't even pray. So how can you expect the wife to pray? And husband do a lot of bad things outside. Don't show good example. So that's why Al-Qadim was established also because of that. How to help these reverts? So we have classes, backup, follow up. We have buddy system to back them up. And this is the area that all the brothers and sisters who have the time can come and, you know, offer your time. We'll show you how to do. That you can do a lot. Give a helping hand. They need a lot of help. Yesterday also we have a case before my class. An elderly sister, 20 over years, became a Muslim. Have children. But now the husband has left her. She has nowhere to go. Two children. I asked, how are your children? Do they pray? The elder one, the daughter, yeah, she learned how to pray, but not the son. Because his father never prayed. When you talk to the son, you say, my father, papa don't pray, why must I pray? You see the problem? I would say that majority who convert through in this area are because of the attraction from the other party. Alhamdulillah, it's good, yeah. But if you can show them good example, guide them, they become very good Muslim. Now, any last question? Now, sister, yeah. Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Okay. Now, inshallah. Now, a very important question, sister. Number one, children, when they are young, you cannot teach them about aqidah because they just cannot accept. They don't understand. But you reinforce value, adab, akhlaq. Remember, Allah, all-knowing, all-seeing, all-loving, all this, yeah? Make them realize, make them hear these words. Don't do this thing because Allah, yeah, do not want you to do because it causes harm to you. Eat this is good. Allah called us to eat. Relate everything that they do with Allah. Allah, Allah. Just reinforce that. Don't just pray without understanding. Pray with understanding. Read the Quran, stop one page, explain to them the meaning of the Quran. We have been reading the Quran without understanding from young until old. Then how can the Quran benefit us? Like Cat Stephen, he didn't read the Quran, but he read the meaning. He understand, and then he became Muslim. Few brothers in the state that we know, they just read the meaning, not even the alif bata, just the meaning. And alhamdulillah, see, the Quran is a miracle. It can open the heart of the readers. But we who have been reading the Quran, and we can abandon Islam because we don't understand. So the best thing for you to put on the children at this age, remind them to do all the good things, relate with Allah first. Relate Allah. Allah love you. No? When they do something wrong, Allah forgive you. Don't do it again. You just connect them with that, and then they adapt. Eat with your right hand, drink with your hand. Don't forget Allah's name. Allah is the provider, Ar-Razzaq. You don't go and explain in detail because the children at this age just cannot absorb. They just can't understand. But slowly as they grow, the environment is important. That's why the Prophet said, قُلِ مَوْلُدْ يُولَدْ عَلَى فِتْرَ فَأَبَوَاهُ يُحَوِّدَانِهِ أَوْ يُنَسِّرَانِهِ أَوْ يُمَجِّسَانِهِ. Every child is born pure and clean. It is their parent at home that is going to change them. If your environment is Islamic, you show Islamic values, Islamic kind of spirit, that spirit will be with the children. When you talk to each other, brothers and sisters, husband and wife, we're full of love and respect, then that kind of environment will help the children to have all these good feelings. Yeah, they start to love their daddy, respect their daddy, respect their mommy. Why? Because they look at their father and mother, how respectful they are, how close they are. No, then they will be, if a father like to shout at the mother, then later on the son will shout at the mother. That's number one. Now, when your environment at home is so good, because if not, you are the one who is going to make them a disbeliever. If you talk like a disbeliever, you act like a disbeliever, even you are Muslim, your children will pick up all this character from you. You are their heroes. They are the audience. Yeah? We are the actor and the actress. Don't underestimate what the children can do. Don't understand. Don't think the children do not know what you are talking about. That's why when adults have issues, don't talk in front of them. Privately, you solve your problem. Children are very sensitive. They are playing, they are listening. One day they will talk to you, got surprised, huh? How can you know? Yeah. It's not good. Because they are very sensitive. Number two, when they grow big, when they reach certain age, they go to school, you must check his environment outside. Because the Prophet said, Al-Maru ala dini khalili, falyanzur ahadukum man yukhalil. Outside, their environment will change your children. And lastly, brothers and sisters, don't give the children at this young age a PlayStation, a gadget. Don't spoil them. Now they are hooked, they are addicted from very young age. Now they don't talk to you anymore. Don't do that. Very, very dangerous. You do not know what you are feeding the children. Now, last question. It depends. It depends on the individual. And that's why people come to us through our humble experiences. We will know how to, I would say that we will know how to help them out. A lot of people will tell you from their heart if you want them to be honest to you. I become a Muslim because of you. Not because of the religion, because there's no other choice. If I don't accept Islam, then I cannot marry you, so I accept because of you. Sometimes they'll tell you out front, remember, you don't call me to go and pray and go and do this thing because I just accept them because of you. I only want you. And this is where we must strengthen the Muslim now. We must educate the Muslim. You must know what to do, what to say to them. Because you can help them. If they are so straightforward, we also must be very careful. So we know how to guide them. We know. When we know that there is their intention, I say, no problem. No problem. But I'm going to tell you a reality of life. What do you want in a marriage? You want peace. You want to have a good family. That's what you want. But do you know what will happen if you don't practice this religion? This kind of thing can happen. Do you want that bad ending? We must guide them slowly already. But there's nothing to lose if you become a good Muslim. You don't lose anything. But now before you talk this to the revert, you must talk to the Muslim. You must show good example. If you can't teach your wife or your husband, bring them along. When you come and learn, bring them along. Let us learn together. Let us relearn again. Because sometimes if you really ask them, they can be very truthful to you. Yeah, they can be very truthful. I've seen that before. So when we know that this person is so mean, he said, I have nothing to do with this religion. But because this is the only condition that I can marry you, I don't mind. But remember, don't call me to do this, do that after that. And now you have to talk to the Muslim side now. Privately, tell them, this is an amana. If you're going to be your husband, your wife, you must be responsible. Or now you can call him to learn now. If he have no interest, then you delay everything. Until he shows some interest, that means his intentions start to change. And then you open up again. No problem. Other matters, inshallah, you can follow up again. Yeah? Let us know if you have this issue. Or those who have this kind of thing, bring them to us. We will show you how we talk to them. You can now witness the discussion, and then you will learn from that, inshallah. I'm sorry I've taken up the time here. And may Allah forgive us. And may Allah strengthen our iman and give us the wisdom to understand what is Islam, the true teaching of Allah, and how to be a good Muslim. So that we set a good example for others, inshallah. Wa billahi tawfiqi wa aqli da'wana walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.